The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Appreciate you making us a part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Live from Circa, week one, National Football League. Again, the Eagles and the Packers tonight on a full week one slate, which we'll get to here momentarily. I want to get to some tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Scott C. Scotty Book 17. Gil, from someone who grew up in Buffalo as a fan of the Joe Gibbs Washington teams. Oh, I love you already, Scott. Please have some empathy for Buffalo Bills fans. You guys are the best. Yeah, but those three trades, if you are netting for other teams, Justin Jefferson, Patrick Mahomes, and now maybe Xavier Worthy to add to that group. Oh, boy. Brian Schaefer. Gil, how can the Niners be that far ahead of anyone else in the NFC? Because I said I thought I was sure about this, that they should be. See, he says they didn't improve adding anyone in free agency or trades. Their wide receivers are mid to average. Okay, wait a minute. Let's just get back to that. The Colts not adding anyone in free agency, that's a problem. The Niners not adding one, not a problem.
And why, Gil? Because what one team made it to...
Correct.
Yeah.
They're just running it back. This is the window. No, not many teams have it. I would disagree with the wide receivers being mid to average as well, by the way. He says Kittle is getting older, Greenlaw out. Lions and Eagles added and are not the same team as last year. Okay.
So I mean, like, I agree with him overall, but I do, but I'm not discounting the Niners at all from what they did a year ago. Yeah. I think there were questions with some players. I think the other one you got to keep in mind, though, and this maybe is the most significant, is Brock Purdy's also getting a year older, right? More experience for a young Brock Purdy is not going to hurt.
Ryan Tajirdzma. The announcers in the Mahova match kept talking about a stomach bug she had. Oh, great.
They said everybody's sick or hurt in tennis. I'm kind of getting tired of this, Gil.
Kelly Bidlin on tennis.
I'm kind of getting tired. Every match, someone tweaks something.
Forget week one in the NFL. Let's do Kelly Bidlin on tennis.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't. Some of these matches I watch.
You're right. The last two matches, we had I had Mahova. She gets a stomach bug. And before that, it was Dimonor. And he was completely hurt the entire match also. So I don't know. You're right.
And I'm not saying that they're not hurt or they're not sick, but it just feels like it's every other match I watch.
Kelly, how many times have I come in here frustrated about it? You have to. That's part of doing business in tennis. Yeah. It's awful. Because I don't know if you know this. It's an individual sport. So if this happens to you in a team sport, you can disguise you or leave the game. Tennis, you're on an island. There's nothing can happen. But he says she had a stomach bug. They said she needed to win the second set because she might run out of gas in the third. And it seems that's what happened, he says. Let's see. This is from
J-Stage 11's tweet.
I haven't gotten there yet. No. New York Mets 16. Who gets the first walkover against Wishnev today in tennis? You're very right. I actually said that to my guard. Are you even going to go or are you going to start? And then we're going to have to do a walkover. Summer Hutchinson. Totally agree with you, Uncle Gilly. We are romanticized by last night. Maybe tonight, Sunday, is going to be a poo show. I'm not saying it's going to be a poo show. I'm just saying it's not going to be as good as it's going to be in October because they don't have as much prep time off season. Mm-hmm. Pat Montefort, not a fan of Jack Collinsworth or Mike Tirico. He prefers Al Michaels. Good friend, Shillionaire. Austin Wells, AL Rookie of the Year. Being the voice of sports betting media, I'm going to tweet this to you every day to keep Wells in the media spotlight. Thanks, Gil. Long shots. And Jason H11, I missed the first hour. Did we talk about hookers yet?
No, that's just yesterday. Or teaser prices.
That's just yesterday. All right.
Tirico had a line going to halftime last night where it was like I'm completely blanking on it. I should have brought this.
I didn't have the audio.
But it was like the most opinionated thing I'd ever heard Mike Tirico say. And I was like, whoa, okay.
I just can't believe like that last call of the game. He's usually on top of everything.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But again, it was
he's awesome.
It was super clear at a minimum that catch in quotes by Isaiah likely needed to survive review. And for some of us, we're like, no, he's out. Like it was kind of clear he wasn't in.
I thought he was probably out. The other one that was weird was the punt. Right, the 20-yard net gain punt by the Chiefs.
Did they seize on that at all?
Like they did, but it took them a minute.
Yeah, that's not good.
Where it was like, I think the call at first was like, oh, what a save from letting it go into the end zone. It was like, oh no, he's clearly in.
Yeah, rapid fire week one.
Rapid fire week.
Quick
one.
Thoughts on everything. We'll do a couple segments on this. What do you got first?
We'll start top of the board. We you and I usually don't really do this, but. Well, usually we kind of just go through the games we bet, right, or have strong opinions on. Figured week one, let's just roll through the whole board. We'll start Jags and Dolphins, sir. We're right now, Dolphins 3.5-point favorites most shops. I do see a couple threes out there, 48.5, 49 on the total.
We have a Jalen Ramsey issue with the Dolphins. He may or may not go.
Yeah, he's questionable. He also just got an extension. I was like confirming that news with Rob Moreno break. He just signed a 3-year extension with the Dolphins. So things can be true.
I like a girl with extensions in her hair. I think that the Dolphins are a bully, right?
Yep.
This is what their identity was last year. The Jaguars do not qualify as a team that they can bully necessarily.
Agreed.
And so I stay away because of that. When the Dolphins are playing someone, the Dolphins and Cowboys had this all last year, and I expect it to go the same way until I see differently with both of these teams. They can pick on the teams that are talent-wise way worse than them, but when someone picks on them that's their own size, things go a little sideways. So no touch for me here.
I think Jags expect to see a little bit of a defensive change this year. I don't know if we're going to see that in game one. And by change, I mean an upgrade. I do think we'll see a better defense out of the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. I don't know if we're going to see that game one against the Dolphins. This was a bet on the over to me. I bet it at 49. That's still, I mean, you can get 48.5. You can get a better number than I got, but it's 48.5, 49 on the total. Did bet the over in this game. I think the Dolphins, I'm actually a little bit more concerned about this year, but just compared to the rest of the AFC, the strength of the AFC, I think they are going to still be very good offensively. I have major questions on the defensive side of the ball for them. I think we get a lot of points in this game. So over was the bet for me. Okay, keep on moving. Steelers at the Falcons. All these in the early window. I'll let you know when we switch to the late.
Listen, this is the one we've probably talked about most in terms of both teams all offseason long. You know how I feel about the Steelers. It is a very consensus feeling, which is it ain't going to go good for them this year. That said, we have seen the Steelers steal football games over the years through defense and special teams play because they do have some studs on defense still. And the Falcons are one of these teams where the defense, well, let's see. They have absolutely buttressed the defense, what we mentioned earlier with Bill Judon and Simmons. Can Kirk Cousins play well off the Achilles? I believe he can. But this is for at least the first week. I'm not going to go crazy here fading the Steelers. I'm just going to stay away and watch this one.
I think that's pretty well said. This was a number play for me. I played the Falcons at 2.5. At 3.5, I'd have absolutely no interest in playing them. I think everything you just said, I agree with. I don't think it – look, we still expect the Steelers defense to be good. I think that's going to be obviously a thing in this game. Falcons, I think there's questions. I trust that offense will be good as the season goes on. Game one against a good defense, I'm not so sure. And then we've got the major quarterback question mark with the Steelers this weekend. Is Russell Wilson walked away from practice yesterday with a little bit of calf tightness? Is that an actual factor?
We get Justin Fields. Calf tightness.
Are you more scared? Well, okay, I'm the one holding a Falcons ticket, but I don't know if I'm more scared if it's Fields or Russell.
You're
Wilson.
More scared if it's Fields. I think you are.
I think I would say that if this was next week or the week after. But if the team's been preparing all along like it's Russell Wilson and it's going to be a last-minute change to Fields, I think that's a good thing for me. But I don't know.
You think if it's a last-minute change to Fields, it's a good thing for you on which bet?
On the Falcons game bet this week.
Oh, I would think you would say the opposite, that if it's a last-minute change they haven't prepped for him, that you'd be worse off.
Yeah, that's true. You could say that about the Falcons defense,
no.
too.
A truth serum, betting is the ultimate truth serum. Yeah. I think if I'm holding a Falcons ticket, I would much rather it be Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Not that Fields is great, but at least there's a variance of his play that could go much higher.
No, I agree with that. Okay, early window, Vikings at the Giants. This is one Eastern Vikings, 1 to 1.5-point favorites. Now a total 41.5.
Here's my reaction to this. If you watch the Giants preseason Hard Knocks, and I hope you did because it's way better than the Bears Hard Knocks classic version, you really did see the sort of inner workings of this team. They are not a very good football team. They do have a couple good players on defense, of course, in Dexter Lawrence. Now, Brian Burns came over from the Panthers, but they lost Xavier McKinney, which is a big loss on the defensive side. And that all has to do with the size of Daniel Jones' contract. So everything that team does is hamstrung by Daniel Jones' contract. However, I have heard way too much love for the Vikings this week.
Oh, I hear you.
In terms of like a survivor pick. I get it. It's because it's a natural spot to play the Vikings, and there won't be any other that is more quote unquote natural. But they're still on the road, and they're still the Vikings. Like I missed when they got good all of a sudden.
Yeah, you missed when they got great at least. I have the Vikings teased up. This is from like a month ago, though, when they were dogs in this matchup. At current numbers, I have no interest in this game. I think the Giants are going to be really bad this year. I have under win total bets on them, alt under win total bets on them. But
if they won, would you be shocked?
No, not at all. That's what's like current numbers. No, I have no interest in this one. All right. 1 p.m. Eastern, Panthers at the Saints. Saints 4-point favorites. I do see a couple 3.5s out there. 41.5 pretty much painted as the total.
Mentioned the Panthers lost Burns on defense. I've documented. I went detail by detail on this during the Megapod this week about Bryce Young's epically, historically bad season. Like as bad as you thought it was, as bad as you remember it to be, it was worse by the actual metrics in multiple categories. That said, I am on the Saints here. I am going to have at least one survivor pick on the Saints because it is truly the most natural spot to play the Saints. But am I super nervous about it? Yeah, I'm nervous about it because I don't trust the Saints. Yeah. I don't trust Derek Carr. So, yeah, I mean, I at some point you got to have some conviction and make a play. It's going to be one of my millions plays, too. So it is by default one of them. It's about my fourth or fifth. But I'm not excited about it. I just want it to be over.
I did make a bet in this game. Played Taysom Hill anytime touchdown. It was actually something Jason and I were texting more about. Kind of off there with Taysom Hill. I know he's looking at him. We talked about him in some awards markets. I just think lack of weapons for the Saints. You get near the goal line, I expect him to be utilized a little bit more and in different ways. So at over 2-1, I think anytime touchdown was a bet for me.
I believe I quipped yesterday that Derrick Henry -125 anytime touchdown looked good yesterday. Wish I had played it. More week one thoughts on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidler. Look at those graphics. Look at those brand new graphics. ANG down the middle there.
I switched monitors on you. That's actually not on there.
Oh, it's not?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're looking at these ones.
What do you mean it's not on air? Kelly,
week one,
Kelly.
Week one of the new studio.
You know that they film this, right? Okay. By the way, just to follow, Vison tweets it. He says, where's Kelly Biddley today? At least you got Seth Rogen to sit in for him. Yeah, I know I did.
Yep.
And the numbers guy says, I need an around-the-way girl, which makes me wonder, what is an around-the-way girl, Gil? And is there any relation to Crack's knock-around broad? Different things. Different things. Just want to point that out. Okay, week one. By the way, still to come this hour, Dr. Bob joins us. Dr. Bob, who I refer to as a pioneer in the sports modeling, the sports handicapping field, where he uses his mathematical model and his technical analysis to predict the results of sporting events. He prefers legend. So, you know, by the way, I called him on that last time and he goes, I just said it one time. I was like, that's all it takes, buddy.
It's all it took.
It's all it takes. All it took.
Okay. I did get the vibe, though, that he would not like us to bring that up again.
Oh, I will totally bring it up again. Joe Cirillo will join us, too, as well. Looking forward to Joe coming on the show for the first time. He's doing nights here at
another
the network.
New edition, yes.
Yeah.
Cashing out every night.
Cashing out every single night.
Sunday through Thursday.
So we're looking forward to that. Week one, more games to get to in the National Football League. Again, just little capsule thoughts on these.
Yep. Biggest favorite on the board. We head to Cincinnati. Bengals laying 8.5 right now to the Patriots. Total 40.5 to 41 right now in this game.
Bengals, the traditional slow starts of the Cincinnati Bengals concern you at all here? I don't know that it. I'm not touching it on the spread. It will be at least one survivor play for me. It'll be for sure the most common survivor player or the most heavily selected. I'm going to guess over 40% of survivor plays are on the Bengals. Really? That's my guess
on this. Is it weird that I didn't even really consider it that much?
It is a little weird that you did. Yeah, a little weird. Okay. But, you know, if you want a game theory from day one, that's your business. That's your business. I just think the Patriots are so bad that I'm not concerned about an upset here. that would be something, wouldn't it? If the Patriots are able to win this, I just think the Patriots are a largely talentless football team. Do I know that the Bengals? I think your North Star in week one should be to take points because of the uncertainty.
Right.
So I would never lay the 8.5 here.
Yeah, no, I think that's all well said. I did tease that, brought up that Vikings teaser last segment. I did. That's where I combined the Bengals in. So I do have them teased down. I think there are. If you did want to get involved with the Bengals, you think the Patriots are that bad? I think there are other teaser legs. I just didn't play them. I don't play a lot of teasers early in the season. I think that gets a little dangerous, too, with the uncertainty and unknown with a lot of these teams. But, man, I don't know. Cowboys and Colts keep sticking out to me as pretty decent teaser legs. But just that for me. I also played the Seahawks already in week two over the Patriots. So I've already jumped ahead there. Okay, moving on. Still in the early window. Titans at the Bears. Bears down to 3.5-point favorites now. Titans taking money these past couple days. 44.5 total painted across the board.
This is one I just want no part of. You know, we ask a question on the Megapod every week. What is the game you want no part of? If you lived in a bizarre world, you had to make a side bet on every single game, but you got one free pass. This was definitely a candidate for that. Titans at the Bears. Bears favored 3.5. You have a rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, who has not seen live action yet. Until now, he will. So there's that uncertainty. His preseason performance was, he wasn't great consistently. He had some spectacular plays where he would roll out to the left and then just like hit dimes on the sidelines. If you watched Hard Knocks, you were familiar with those plays. So I'm not touching this. Just the quintessential week one. Let me see these two teams play before I have any strong opinions.
I'm with you. There are other games that I would throw in the category, but no, this would be my answer.
Yes.
Without a doubt, if the one game I have no interest in touching at all, side or total, this week, it is Titans and Bears. So we'll move on to a game that we are both involved in. Cardinals at the Bills. This is 6.5 now, Gil, and we are getting juiced 6.5s. Wondering if we see a 7 before Sunday. 47.5 is the total here.
Just going to repeat myself because I know there's a whole offseason to have said this 10 different times, but I'm going with my preseason conviction that the Bills are not going to make the playoffs this year. I think your week one, thoughts ought to correlate to some degree with that. I think the absence of Stephon Diggs opening the field up for Josh Allen to throw underneath to his tight ends becomes a question mark. I think he's got to be a Superman here. This is a lot of points to give a Cardinals team where the defense admittedly on paper looks like it is going to, what's the technical term? Suck. but with Kyler Murray behind center, they're actually not horrific. Give me the points. I'll take the 6.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on the side. And then I bet the total too over. I don't have much respect right now for either one of these defenses heading into the year. And for the Buffalo side of it, it's a lot of injuries. You're talking about a safety tandem that we were so used to seeing Poyer and Hyde there for so many years, and they're not there anymore. You got Milano hurt. I'm worried about what the kind of backbone of this defense looks like for the Buffalo Bills. I think we see a lot of points. And I do like the Cardinals. So over is a play for me, and the Cardinals is a play. Moving on, last early window game, Texans at the Colts. It is Texans 2.5. It is 3 at DraftKings. Couple threes out there, actually. We got 3 even money behind us here at Circa as well. 48.5, 49 the total.
Yeah, this is the quintessential what do you believe from last year? Do you believe C.J. Stroud is the real deal and the Texans are going to be that much more stacked with Diggs now on offense here, adding to an already talented offensive skill position set with the Texans? Or do you believe that even though Chris Ballard didn't do anything really this offseason to improve the Colts, that Anthony Richardson, as Kelly Bidlin calls him, the greatest player who's ever played the game of football ever?
Exact quote. Yeah,
I believe you said that. Or do you believe that he is going to will his team to victory here? It's a division game. You're a home dog. That's always a nice proposition. Again, a stay away. While I love the Cardinals, while I'm playing the Saints, this is another one where I'm just like, yeah, let me see this.
Yeah, this would be lean Colts for me. But but mainly because we're talking about a home division dog catching 3 points in week one. I don't know about you. This is actually a game I feel like I've heard several people I respect on both sides of this. So that makes it a pretty easy just take out of consideration game for me. Another pretty ugly one, Raiders at the Chargers. We are now into the late window, 4:05 Eastern. Chargers 3-point home favorites painted 40 and a half the total.
This is, you know, Justin Herbert. We did our quarterback rankings. Justin Herbert ended up, I think, eighth for both of us. And I remember what I said was, okay, this is like, I love the raw talent. It's amazing. But he did have, he's had tons of games where it's been on his racket, so to speak, late in the game, and it has not worked out. And that's when he had great players around him. The Chargers have an empty cupboard. Empty cupboard. What was the word?
Cupboard.
This year on offense, it appears beyond Herbert. So, listen, 3-point. This spread to me is the one where the books are like, we have no idea. It's three. Have at it.
Yeah. No,
Raiders 3-point dogs. Because I don't expect much from the Raiders this year. I don't believe in them at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on both. I actually think the Chargers lack of talent is somehow not being talked about enough. I feel like I don't know if we went over it or not. I did finally end up playing their win total under. I just don't. Everybody who scored a touchdown for that team in the past 8 years is off the team now. So I don't know what we're really expecting from Ladd McConkey to dominate this year or something from the wide receiver position. Okay, moving on. Commanders at Tampa Bay. Bucks 3 to 3.5 point favorites right now. 42 and a half the total in this game.
Yeah, just to clarify so far. So I love the Eagles tonight. I'm taking the points with the Cardinals. I am laying the 3 already with the Falcons. I know it's more now. And the Saints -4 against the Panthers. This one right here, I don't know what's wrong with you folks who are all picking Tampa Bay and Survivor so confidently. How dare you? Jaden Daniels making his debut for Washington. This was my pick for the game I would want no part of. I have no idea what I'm getting from Tampa Bay, quite frankly, but I certainly don't know what I'm getting from Washington. I expect the incomparable Terry McLaurin to make a great play here and there to keep Washington in this ball game. Can the Washington defense stand up in this? That's the problem with Washington. Just really no help in the secondary this offseason. So that could be the problem.
I think especially the secondary. It's a lot of what Felica said for me as well, Gil. I don't think I'm going to have much interest playing Tampa Bay the rest of the season. They're not a team I'm especially high on. I think you're talking week one at home, though, with a rookie quarterback coming in. I also don't know how many times I'm going to want to get in front of Jaden Daniels going forward either. So this is the time I'm most likely using one of my Survivor entries on the Bucks. I did lay 3 with them as well. I think those Washington corners are going to be a problem for Washington, not for Tampa Bay. Moving on, we have Broncos at the Seahawks, 4:05 Eastern. Seahawks 6-point favorites, 15.5 out there. I see 41.5 your total in this game.
Too many points to play. I think Seattle and Mike McDonald are going to be great, but as I've said when I'm talking about this team, it's going to take the full season for his defensive approach to really catch on with players who are new to his very intricate system, where he doesn't rush more than 4 that often. It's where the blitz is coming from. They're going to have to figure that out. That's going to take some time. So to lay 6 here against a Broncos team, which I don't expect much from, but 6 is a lot. So I'm not playing it.
I hear you. This was the 5th game that made it onto my millions card. Just kind of like, what's that 5th side you're going to play? Yeah. It was Seattle, and I think I will have a Survivor entry on Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And Seattle and Tampa Bay.
Okay, a few more games to get to. We will get to those. And Dr. Bob on the other side. It is a numbers game. College football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We were so rudely interrupted by the show. We were having a conversation with Bob, for God's sake. Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. And on the front page, a whole bunch of NFL. Yes, indeed. Zach Cohen on the Packers-Eagles tonight. Tyler Shoemaker on late line movement, NFL Week 1. And we got some college football as well, Week 2. Adam Burke, Tyler Shoemaker, Steve Mackinnon. Everybody's all about the college football. And Matt Eumanns, of course, on college ball. VSIN, pardon me, VSIN.com. Check it out. I just mentioned this gentleman. He is a pioneer and a legend. He is Dr. Bob. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports and at drbobsports.com. That's drbobsports.com. He is a guy who has modeled mathematically and used technical analysis to predict the results of sporting events for decades now, and he's kind enough to join us in his normal Friday spot. Good morning to you, Bob.
Good morning. I'm happy. I keep track of every play I've ever released on your show, and I'm happy to start this season with the USC win. Last year was not my best year. I was 22-21 on the games I gave out on your show, but lifetime now 58% after that USC win.
How about that?
Back on track.
Bob,
back on track.
Tracking his picks in the ANG subset, in the numbers game subset. Bob, courtesy
of the
progressive guest line. Paul Carr does that as well.
No one else wants to do that because nobody. But I'm 107-79-2 lifetime on football on Gil's show.
Wow.
There we go.
Well, you know, no one likes to except for our guests because Paul Carr does. Jason Weingarten proclaims himself the most successful guest in the history of VSiN.
Right, yeah. That's not right. Sure I've seen the numbers.
I'm not sure I'm seeing
that,
the numbers on that either. That's right. Bob, that's true. He doesn't track it. Okay, let's go to college football. You have thoughts on Houston and Oklahoma. Houston lost as a favorite last week to UNLV by 20, and then Oklahoma just absolutely crushed Temple 51-3. What do you got here?
But did Oklahoma really crush Temple?
Interesting.
The score says so. They scored 51 points, but Oklahoma only gained 378 yards and averaged 5.8 yards per play. Temple was one of the worst defenses in the nation last year, so that was not really a crush. The way I look at things, new quarterback Jackson Arnold only averaged 4.6 yards on his 28 pass plays and only 3.0 if you take out the one target to top returning receiver Jahlil Farouk, who hauled in a 47-yard pass and then got injured. So Farouk's out. So the one guy that he had a big play with is out. Their explosive receiver Nick Anderson didn't play last week, is questionable this week. I'm not sure why they play him necessarily in a game they should win. I try to get him ready for conference season. But even if he plays, I'm assuming Nick Anderson will play. And if he does, you know, Arnold should have a better game. I mean, I still, even though he was terrible last week, I still rate Oklahoma's, you know, pass offenses as being, you know, about a yard per pass play better than average. Even though Arnold's career, he's only 0.2 yards per pass play better than an average quarterback on 100 career pass plays. I still give him the benefit of the doubt, even after that terrible performance. But the offense did not look good, and Houston's offense was dreadful. They have a new offense that they're trying to learn this season. I didn't like their offense much last year anyway, and their starting unit scored 0 points, and Donovan Smith averaged 2.5 yards per pass play last week. They scored a garbage touchdown late. But their offense looks dreadful. Houston's got a decent defense. Oklahoma's got an elite defense. I don't see how Houston's going to score into double digits. And Oklahoma's offense is not so explosive. So I like the under. I released the under 52 points early in the week, and now down to 50. I still think it's worth the play under 50. So go ahead and do that down to 49.
How about, down to 49? I was going to say, because I'm seeing a bunch of 49 and a halfs out there, too. So down to 49.
Still some 50. Yeah, down to 49. Still
okay. Let's go to Wazoo and Texas Tech. Wazoo beat Portland State. Neil Lomax, Clint Didier, and Portland State. Have they graduated yet? Beat them by 40. And then Texas Tech, my goodness, they played Abilene Christian and needed to stop an attempted two-point conversion in overtime to win it 52-51. Wazoo and Texas Tech.
Yeah, the thing you know they were a 31-point favorite against Abilene Christian. The thing to take out of that is the defense was just so bad in that game, and they've got some injuries on the Texas Tech defense. I mean, two contributors from last year's Tech defense were injured in camp. The two guys that were starters part-time last year were injured in camp. One was a projected starter. Projected starting nose tackle didn't play last week. He's questionable for this game. Two starters in last week's games were injured near the end of that game and are questionable for this week. That includes safety CJ Baskerville, who's probably their best all-around defensive player. Baskerville played basically the entire game last week, you know, had nine tackles, and they still couldn't defend the pass. They gave up 506 pass yards at 10 yards a pass play to Abilene Christian. So the defense is really in trouble, and they could not get pressure on the quarterback against an FCS offensive line. They didn't get any sacks, and the only two quarterback hits were by Harvey Dyson, and he's one of the players listed as questionable this week. Washington State is you know, Cam Ward's gone. He's in Miami doing his thing, but Mateer is the new quarterback. In his career, he's thrown 36 passes for 619 yards. I mean, he's probably capable of being a decent quarterback. I don't have him rated as high as I had Cam Ward last year, but looks pretty good so far. 619 yards is 17 yards a pass attempt with 8 touchdowns and just 1 interception. He's never taken a sack in his life. Probably not going to take a sack this week against Texas Tech, who can't get any pressure on the quarterback. Perfect scoring conditions. Washington State should have another big game after scoring 70 points last week. And Texas Tech's offense is not as good as that 50 points or 51 points looks last week. They were actually average on a yards per play basis if you take into account how bad Abilene's defense is. And I have them rated average going into that game. So they're an average offensive team against probably what it looks like an average defensive team for Washington State. Texas Tech will score their points, but Washington State's offense is better. Defenses are about the same. So I think Washington State at home wins this game. And I played up to -2.5.
All right. Laying the 2 as is on Wazoo against Texas Tech and then under in the Houston, Oklahoma game. Bob, before we let you go, are you in a survivor pool this year in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm in a couple.
You sound very excited about it. I must say.
I took Seattle and New Orleans.
Okay. So I'm on New Orleans as well because there's no other natural spot to play them. And
I'm on Seattle.
Kelly's on Seattle. Okay. Bob, thank you as always.
All right.
Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody. Predictive sports modeling at drbobsports.com. We were talking to Bob before the segment, and I was asking, how's the wife? How's the kids? And the first thing out of his mouth, he goes, my son's a spaz. And then it just went from there. I just love that. My son's a spaz. He comes home with a note from school every day.
He's getting his work done early, and he's bored. So some of us might be able to relate to that from our days in school, okay?
That's awesome. All right, week one, we've got some other games to get to.
Two games left on Sunday.
Oh, right. And then we have the Monday night.
Of course, we have Monday night. Cowboys at Browns. Browns still hanging on as 2.5-point favorites right now, 41-40.5 out there. I do see one of those on the total.
You got some issues here on the offensive line. Tyler Guyton's going to have to line up against Myles Garrett a lot on the other side that is not his natural side. He's switching sides on the offensive line. And then you have some issues lining up against Micah Parsons on the Browns offensive line. This is, you know, the Browns are as big of a question mark as any team is, not in terms of their players around their quarterback, but the quarterback himself. What are we getting from Deshaun Watson? Which version? Are we getting old school great Deshaun from Clemson? Old school good Deshaun from the Houston Texans? Or after all this time, do we not have any idea what we have here?
I think it's more the latter. You know me, Deshaun Watson's great years, I thought he was going to be awesome. But between the off-the-field stuff and injuries and everything, I don't know that you can expect. I can't imagine betting the Browns side.
I also think, again, like with the Dolphins, the Cowboys are a proven bully here. This is not a team they can bully. They can actually get bullied by the Cleveland Browns. So no outcome would surprise me here. There's no play.
One prop bet I might make in this game is Dak over on attempts. I mean, anybody seen the Cowboys backfield recently? It's not very impressive. It was in 2017, but it's not very impressive with Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott back there. They got offensive linemen that they've switched in and out. Like I think the Browns are going to kind of take that away, and it's going to force Dak to pass a lot in this game. So not a bet I've made yet, but I probably will make before kickoff. Okay, Sunday night, Rams at Lions. Lions out to 4.5-point favorites. Now 52-52.5 total on this game.
Of all the primetime games, probably the one we've spoken about the least. We're running out of time here. So I'll just say this. I think 4 is just a point too many on the Rams. I trust Sean McVay in an opening game. He says cautiously, hoping he gives the ball to Puka Nacua. So I'll take the, if I did anything here, I would take the points. I am not involved currently.
No bet for me. Did play Lions in millions though.
Did play Lions in millions.
3.5 in circa millions did play.
I will be submitting my millions because I want to get the Eagles pick in there. So I'll be submitting that today. Joe Serralo joins us on the other side. He does nights here at the network. The name of the show is Cashing Out. He's kind enough to join us with all of his football thoughts. That's next right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game live at Circa. Gil Alexander, we get tweets. Want to get to the remaining ones. Xavier says, setting the early line on referencing the hookers conversation with Unscripted with Bill at 1.5. Well, we had one earlier. Does this count as the second one?
I think we mentioned it.
He just pushed it over. So, Nicholas Griggs, the only consistency the refs had with the calls last night was they only called it on Baltimore. Corbin. Not the Will Hill was in the exact same boat as you, Gil, with the Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, but I was staring at the Worthy anytime touchdown and just didn't bet it. I think I figured out the name of my own podcast, the God Blanket I Wish I Would Have Bet That Podcast. That'll work. Steve Rodriguez, has Kelly recently taken up an art class? Every total today seems to be painted. Good luck this weekend, guys. Yeah, we all have our crutches.
Yeah,
numbers, phrases. Guys. You guys simply have the best guests on the network. Dr. Bob is going to be on every week now. That's more than last year, right? Great, a true pioneer, a regular Kit Carson, but did he ever trap fur, or act as a government agent in communicating with the natives? He's a regular Daniel Boone. Bobby Geddes, the Bills are 6.5, -6.5, but the team totals are Cardinals 19.5 and the Bills 27.5. Interesting. Kelly might be right. We could see a 7. Love the Cardinals there, and I think I also like the Cardinals over 19.5. Also, Tiafo 80-1, best tournament around. Good luck with that. And this just in, we have to confirm this, Kelly. Did Deshaun Watson's father just pass away?
I did not see that yet. I will check.
I am seeing it from Dove Kleiman, and you know what that means. Mm. It could be true. It might be false. But I'm seeing it in multiple locations. And if that's the case, first of all, we would extend our best to Deshaun Watson. Obviously, our condolences. And then secondly, because we're callous people and we come from a betting perspective, our brains immediately go to what is the effect of that on an NFL game. But we'll confirm that. As well, that's awful if that is in fact the case. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of Cashing Out here weeknights at the network. It's Joe Cirillo, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at the Joe Cirillo. Was there a run on Joe Cirillo's on Twitter?
No, I just wanted to put myself in a class with the Ohio State. It's very clear from the start. You know, there is one other out there. I do have an uncle with the same name. So.
By the way, who do people say you look like first, right off the bat?
Vinny Chase.
Oh my God! That's a great one.
That's not at all who I am. You know who it is?
Where were you going with
Taylor
that?
Taylor Fritz.
You know what? My girlfriend's mother and all of her friends at the country club
Taylor
who are
Fritz.
Big tennis players all call me Fritz. That's hilarious. That's
overall, good-looking guy,
Taylor Fritz. That's a good person to be compared to.
Yeah, and you know it's funny. One of our guys who likes to watch the shows and insult us on Twitter calls me Fritz every time he insults me, and I'm like, did you just call me handsome in an insult? Thank you.
Did you just call me the number one American tennis player in the world? Well, give everybody a sense of what they can expect on your show every night.
Cashing Out's just going to bring the energy every single night. Look, I get it, especially for you folks back east. We are a late show, 11 to 2 Eastern, so it's going to be high energy, great guests, and the hottest takes coming out of the stove every single night with me.
Out of the stove? Wow. Before we get to your football thoughts, you have a baseball play today?
I do. Yeah, I like the Phillies on the run line. You know, September starts to get a little wonky here. So in the summer, I'm giving out 3, 4, 5 baseball plays a day. But I'm going Phillies -1.5 here in Miami. Zach Wheeler, pretty good numbers against this Marlins lineup. They've got just one combined extra base hit against him. Cabrera on the flip side going up against the Phillies. The guy is a walk machine. He puts guys on base left and right. 15 walks and 88 plate appearances for current Phillies hitters against Cabrera, and OPS over 850. And the Phillies, half of their games against Miami this year, 5 out of 10, they've won on the run line. So I'm going to take that with Wheeler on the bump.
Okay. You just drove out here, right? Like earlier this week.
Tuesday, yeah.
He made it like halfway.
I drove halfway here. I rode in a tow truck for the second half.
That's great.
Same thing happened to me. When I was moving out here, my car broke down like in Albuquerque. I was like, oh, this is convenient.
Awesome. Yeah. Between Barstow and Baker, that was a blast.
Did you start your show halfway into the show the other night? Is that true?
So my first show I did remote, because I'm going to be doing probably a show a week remote, usually Sunday night. I'll be back in Los Angeles. But in this case, this week, I started the show Monday, Labor Day, did it remote. Tuesday, yes, that episode, my second edition of Cashing Out,
That's awesome. I came
in out of the bullpen at 9:45 Pacific, did a segment with Dave Ross, who's just one of my favorite humans in the world.
Greatest.
And then I took over the reins for the final hour solo.
Cool.
Dave had a date or something, so I let him go.
So did you have time, or do you intend to enter either of these contests at Circa?
I didn't really have time. It's kind of been a whirlwind, yeah. And I'm leaving town actually right after spot. So okay. Probably not going to be a contest year for me. It's my first year. Let me build the bankroll a little bit, and then next year I'll get in them.
It's a very mature stance to take on that. I would endorse that.
Absolutely. As far as Deshaun Watson confirmed, by the way, I know that. No convenient time to jump in and confirm that, but yes.
Yeah. And you, again, this is sort of the awkward thing about being on a betting network where it's like you extend your sympathies and your condolences, and absolutely when anybody's father passes away. But then, listen, we come from our little corner of the world, and you start to think to yourself, what does this mean for the Browns-Cowboys game? I don't know if you had a play on that game or any
other. That was a stay away for me. It's a weird spot. These are two teams that I see right around that 8-9 win final this season. So I'm not really that high on either one of them. I love Dak Prescott, and I don't like the Browns situation. I've said on record they'd be better off with Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback than Deshaun Watson, in my opinion.
You're speaking
smart
his language.
Smart
you guys
guy.
Love each other already.
Smart guy.
What did you bet this weekend?
So I released the Serrallo pick six last night, my favorite six plays against the spread. And my favorite play out there, I was able to find a 3 on the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Only laying 15 cents.
Where was that, by the way?
So shop around. That's the advice I always give people. Shop around.
I throw out these offshore plays. Joe's like, I can't really say.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes it's offshore. But the Miami Dolphins, -3, only had to lay 15 cents on that one. And I would still take, because not everyone can shop around to the extent I can. I would always preface this by saying Miami -3.5 would also be a play of mine. But -3, I mean, how could you pass up on that? So I love that. I love the Eagles tonight -2 as
I do too.
DraftKings right now is actually at 3 -115. So there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
DraftKings has moved it?
Yeah, they are. Wow. That's the only 3 I'm seeing on the board, though, right now.
Yeah, it's still 3.5 here. Yeah.
Have they, I don't mean, I'm just asking this on the fly. Have folks pulled the Cowboys game off at all?
No, it's I still just checked on that. No movement, still posted. And that was Deshaun announcing that on his Instagram.
Okay.
I don't know if that changes anything, but maybe it was something that was a little, I don't want to speculate. Hey.
As far as your sort of season-long football takes, what would you say is your, according to, juxtaposed against like conventional wisdom, what's your most outlying, your most contrarian opinion that most people don't have?
Well, I don't understand why most people aren't in agreement with me on this one. It's that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go over 8.5 wins again.
Oh, that's right. They always do.
This is where Joe needed the round of applause for the only person to have the cojones to go over on it.
Before you even give your explanation, good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, look, this is just something I bet every year, and every year I feel a little queasy when I, make that bet. And every year I'm cashing out at the end of the football season. It's why the show's called Cashing Out with Joe Serrallo.
Yeah, the exact opposite of me, Gil. Every year I bet the under with the opposite result. Yeah.
Look, no one can look at me with a straight face and say that Mike Tomlin does not have a better quarterback situation than he had the last two seasons. You can criticize each of these guys, Russ Wilson and Justin Fields. They're both better than Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. And he finally has an offensive coordinator worth a damn in Arthur Smith, who's going to bring some creativity. I believe we saw nothing in the preseason from what this offense and what they're going to do, because the preseason doesn't mean anything anymore. So you're going to get some creativity now that Matt Canada's gone. Arthur Smith is in. He's also got his guy Cordarrelle Patterson. So he's going to, he's got some familiarity there. And we're going to see Justin Fields do some Taysom Hill-like things. I think Fields will be the starting quarterback about halfway through the season. But Pittsburgh has a chance here to start potentially 3-1. Oh. I like him catching 3.5 against Atlanta this weekend. And I think they're going to go 9-8.
You think he's going to go 9-8. I can look at you with a straight face and say other things, but I can't with the quarterback point, because your quarterback point is correct. That was certainly a bad situation last year, even worse than it might be now on paper. You are 6'4" tall. We're taking a survey.
Surprise me again.
You can dunk a basketball. You, Tyler Shoemaker, and Tim Murray 2 years ago.
Tim Murray could dunk. Come on, he could. He just doesn't want to press it.
We'd be better than the USA Olympic 3-on-3 team.
maybe we would. Joe, you have a match in New York in about several hours. So you should probably get in your car.
I love it.
Yeah. Good luck to you tonight. Joe Serrallo, everybody, at the Joe Serrallo. Again, cashing out. The time every night is
8 to 11 Pacific, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Unite Owls, tune in. It's the show for you.
Good for you, man. Good to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for having me.
Joe Serrallo, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. Don't forget, after the show today, It is not Stormy today. Patrick Maher in for Stormy on Money Moves. That starts at noon Eastern. On the show today, Eitan Shander, who will break down tonight's matchup between the Eagles and the Packers. And then once Money Moves is done, stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen. That starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. And then, of course, Mitch and Paul will follow the money. That is the VSiN schedule. Money Moves. At noon Eastern today, coming up right after the show. I got to go put in my millions plays because I got the Eagles tonight. I don't want to forget about that. And I'm already having like worries that I'm not going to get my Survivor plays in.
Alarms are set. Multiple alarms are set for tomorrow. Yes.
Good luck to everybody involved in not only the Circa contest, but any Survivor pool or contest you are involved in around the country. Let's enjoy week one of the National Football League. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.